You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, don't you? If I really knew you would, break it down in my head. It's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give you information. Ask me for love, what blood makes noise? Is it ringing in my ear? Blood makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two, and yes, I'm back, and UFOs showed up and tried to abduct me, but I managed to fight them off, and I'm no worse for the wear. What would a show be with a high-profile guest with like Steve Quayle if we didn't have some technical anomaly? So one source down, and we've got one of our backups working, and we're not going to be deterred. We're speaking with Steve Quayle, who has written a classic book. And I tell you, this is not a sit-down, read-it-for-an-hour kind of read if you're really going to absorb. It's kind of like the dictionary or Bible, if you will, the New World Order, the origins, where it comes from, and where it's leading. And the book is entitled Empire Beneath the Ice, How the Nazis Won World War II. And you heard Steve say right before I got disconnected that it took him about a year to write this book. I would have guessed 3 or 4 years because the amount of material that's condensed in here is voluminous. But anyway, before we rejoin Steve, I just want to remind everybody, you're going to need gold, you're going to need food, and you're going to need water filters. And we have the guys for you that can do all that. First of all, our present guest, Steve Quayle, is the owner of Renaissance Precious Metals, and I am a very happy customer, as many of you have heard me say week after week on the show. And Steve was about as low pressure as you get. In fact, if he doesn't think this is right for you based on your income and your situation, he will tell you. He'll tell you this is not for you. Go buy some food. But you do need to have, if you can afford to do so, a conversion between your soon-to-be worthless cash, and you need to convert it into gold, because gold and silver, historically, the only things that somewhat hold their value. And I say somewhat with silver, all the time with gold. How do you get a hold of Steve tomorrow to inquire about conversion from cash to gold? 406-586-4842. Again, that's 406-586-4842. And I mentioned you need water. One of the things that my good friend Bob Griswold has from readymaderesources.com are great water filters. And man, I couldn't believe the prices. They are so reasonably priced. But if you're ever forced to bug out, you need to get out of Dodge, you need to have water filters that are going to be reliable, they're going to be durable, and really you do need more than one. Here at our household, we have multiple water filters because you never know if you're going to have to bug out. In fact, Steve mentioned something about the Chinese invasion of the United States and the white papers that we did a show on a few years ago. He's absolutely right. The devastation would be unbelievable, and they wouldn't be agreeable with taking prisoners. So I would recommend tomorrow that you get a hold of my friend Bob Griswold by first visiting his website at readymaderesources.com and then calling Bob, and he'll do a private consultation with you, 1-800-627-3809. And if you don't want to interact over the phone, they even have a chat feature that you can see when you go up there. Finally, you're going to need food. And you're going to need grab-and-go buckets, and you're going to need stuff that you go on the run with and have it in reserve, or you're going to need a stockpile. And I recommend you have a year to 2 years worth of food. This is what we've done here in the Hodges household. And, you know, people say, why would you tell people that, Dave? Well, look, I'm selling this stuff on my show. Obviously, I believe in it, or I wouldn't be selling it. So, yeah, I am a customer. And I'm speaking specifically about getting storable food from NumanaFoods.com. And Numana is spelled with two N's there, N-U-M-A-N-N-A. NumanaFoods.com/Hodges. Go up there and see the great product lines they have. I've eaten these foods. You know, Daniel Brigman, the owner of Numana, sent me food samples. And I said, this is like restaurant stuff. And it's reasonably priced. And don't get caught short, folks. Don't be one of the marauding hordes that we're going to have to deal with going house to house 72 hours after the currency collapse takes place. So anyway, those are our three sponsors for this coming hour. And I think we have Steve back. Am I right, Steve? Are you with us?
Yeah, I'm with you, Dave. And by the way, I want to clarify something. The current form of Empire of NEGIs took about a year. The previous genetic Armageddon was about 2 years in the making. So, you know, basically, it was a 3-year composite work, but it was fascinating because I didn't know Hitler was going to come to the prominence and preeminence. It's just, I can say this, I felt prompted, I felt absolutely, pushed along by the Lord, and it was like, seriously, a man has nothing except he receive it from above, okay? And I would say, based on the response, which has been beyond my expectation, I'm grateful to the Lord for it, but it answers everybody's question. Let's get to HAARP now. Excuse me, I just got over that cruddy bronchitis that everybody was fighting.
Oh,
I apologize.
Yes.
Yep, and I apologize, everyone. I'm trying to hit the mute fast enough. But you asked me about HAARP, and I want people, they can go and see the original HAARP patent. It's, you just type in this, U.S. patent, 4686605, and you'll see Bernard Eastland, E-A-S-T-L-U-N-D. I apologize.
It's okay.
You had talked about looking for underground tunnels. You don't know how prescient and important that statement was. One of the things that HAARP can do is it becomes a giant CAT scanner in some of its derivations. I was told by somebody that flies around in TR-3Bs, and that's Tango Romeo 3 Bravo, go look it up on YouTube, that they can see 200 miles into the Earth in some areas, not all areas, okay? So if that's the case, then what are they looking for, and why are they so, why are they so fixated on this? Well, it's not just us building tunnels. The Chinese, the Russians, the Indians, the Pakistanis, everybody in the world. And by the way, there's a biblical verse for that. The rich men of the earth basically go and hide themselves in the clefts of the rock and say, save us from, save us from this God who's going to pay us back. I'll get the scripture in a minute. But it's for the tomographic, in other words, a giant earth-covering CAT scan to see. They're also worried, like a friend of mine who's dead now, worked for the agency, said, heck, we know a lot and we think we know everything, but obviously there are things that we don't know, and those are what drives us crazy. Quote. So, the other thing that I think people need to understand is this. All the fascination, Dr. Joseph Mengele, and this is in my book too, I don't know if you read it, but he would sit on the trains bringing in people from all over the different parts of Europe. He wanted two things more than anything. He wanted the genetic material from dwarfs, interesting, huh, and giants. Dwarfs and giants. Now, Mengele, who was just basically the most, you know, one of the, if he wasn't the most wicked, he was one of the two most wicked men in history when it came to experimenting on human beings, okay? But the point is that the Third Reich wanted supermen, and that is a basis right now of DARPA's Superman program. You know, they have contact lenses, have had them for years. I remember saying this years ago, and my critics, and look, when I say my critics, they ask people who criticize Dave or me or whoever, Doug or Pastor Langford or these different people, Tom Horn, ask them what they've written, ask them what they've researched, ask them the billion-dollar question, have they ever won anybody to the Lord? Have they ever told the truth? So again, Dave, and I want to share this with your audience. This is critical. I've been asking the Lord lately, show me the world as you see it, not through the headlines, not through what I know, not through what I think I know, not through what, you know, people tell me, but I want to know from your perspective, Lord. And I use the scripture, I have not because I ask not, but ask and ye shall receive. Okay, that's the basis for asking God that. I was going down the road, and I think this was like 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, you know, within the last month, and all of a sudden the Lord said, Steve, He broke into me. I heard him. He said, do you know why I hate slander? Do you know why I hate it so much that I speak to it about tail-bearing? And I said, no, Lord. He said, because that's what Lucifer did before he fell, to slander to me, slander me to the angels, the one-third of the angels that fell with him. That's because I hate it so much. You follow me? Or that's the reason why God hates it so much. And instantly, Dave, I had understanding. How did Lucifer entice a third of the angels to go with him? Number one, he slandered God. Number two, he promised to the fallen angels that they would be like God. Well, it worked in heaven. It certainly worked in the Garden of Eden. And that's why God is against one of the abominations is sowing discord amongst the brethren, okay? But another one is bearing false witness. And yet, people live in that world when they don't want to, let's say, own up or take responsibility for their own actions. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, you get tired of it. You and I talk off air, and your phones are interrupted. Your computers go down. My computers go down. My phones go off. Stuff disappears from my website. And, you know, the point is that it's all those things. Yet, again, if God says it's an abomination, that's pretty strong language, you know? So, you know, it's a word to the wise. We're in a spiritual warfare battle, whether you like it or not. And if you claim to be a Christian, you better get a handle on your tongues.
I so agree with that. And this is why I think it's so important to mention Matthew at this point, where it talks about how Christians resolve disputes. You go to your Christian brother or sister in private and have a frank and honest and loving conversation and resolve it there, not in the public court of opinion.
Well, and let me share this. There's, you know, and you know, just if we don't stick up for one another. Now, there are cases where people absolutely slander, and if you tell your side of it, then what happens, Dave, you drag other people into it, okay? But if someone, let's say A and B are having a fight, and A wants to come to Steve and drag him into a fight against B, you know, I don't want to be there in the first place. And what's happening now is people are setting up camps. There are those who love David Langford and I, and Dave Hodges, there are those that hate our guts. I've had people, you know, Christians who believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, which I don't, literally tell me, well, they can't wait for me to get slaughtered while they're carried away in the spirit looking down on all the gore going on the earth.
What is Christian about that view, Steve? What's Christian about saying that to another Christian?
Well, there's nothing Christian of it, you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
So here's the deal. The reason this is important is those who don't do their homework attack the messengers who do. And the mind control, remember when, this is real, guess who taught the United States how to do this? The Nazis. The propaganda vehicles that the Nazis use are still duplicated today. So you know this, a house divided against itself can't stand. So when the U.S. military said they're going to use propaganda, by the way, it wasn't against the Russians, against the Chinese, who is it against? It's against Dave Hodges, it's against all of us in the alternative press. You know, and there's a Department of Propaganda. So I maintain, and I came up with this term, that Americans are headlined hardened to the truth, but are so more than willing to accept the lie. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely.
They're so headline hardened to the truth. I'll give you a good example. The word economic collapse has no meaning to, let me do the math in my head, 99.5%. At this point, it's postulated that only half a percent of the people in the United States buy gold and silver. That's pretty easy. They know how many total sales are made. They know the population. They come up with that number. So let's say it's 1%. Well, 99% of the people don't even believe that we're headed towards trouble. Now, they may put their money in T-bills, bonds, paper, but at the end of the day, paper's paper. And paper burns, paper, comes apart when exposed to water. And this is what people are not recognizing. Same thing for food. How many stories in the last 30 days have been generated on drought? How many stories have been generated on weather wars? How many stories are being generated on the cost of living and the price of food going up? And this person, you know, trying to cover up Monsanto, or that person trying to cover up genetic alteration and modification. And, you know, basically at the end of the day, it's the war of the Luciferians and the Satanists against the living God and his word. The Luciferians are being promised eternal life apart from Jesus. The Luciferians are being promising to everyone else, look, you just download your brain into a new body and it's just you, and it's perpetual indulgence in perpetual, that's a hard word tonight. So the point is that we, and people say, don't keep saying the point is. I believe you make a point, you restate the point, and then you basically summarize a point. Because sure enough, you and I will get off the show tonight, and somebody will misquote or say they didn't understand or send me an email. What did you mean? Well, I'm trying to make it as easy as I can. So what I want people to get to come to grips with is this. If you understand how the Nazis infiltrated every aspect of the United States, if you understand the pharmaceutical companies that are absolutely adamant in their vaccinations and in their different drugs that are less than efficacious, I would say this, they are in so many cases, look at how many people die from drug interactions and contraindications versus, you know, gunshots and gunshots very low, let's say traffic accidents or any other form of dying. You know, the point being is that we have a medical establishment that basically is following the protocols of the Nazis. Let's take euthanasia. I don't know if you saw the article in London Daily Mail, but listen, they want people to donate their organs while they're alive. Brother, if that's not intellectual cannibalism followed by body part cannibalism, I don't know what is. How about this? People are sending me emails, veterans of foreign wars, veterans of our military, and I'm getting calls from wives, I'm getting emails from wives that, you know, just asking hard questions. My husband's in so much pain. I've used this as a literal and real illustration. He's asking me to end his life. What do I do? And I say, you don't end his life. You pray for it. Let me pray for him. But she said they won't give him his pain medicine. 250,000 vets have died. Actually, it's 350,000 since this administration took over. 965,000 vets are waiting. By the way, do you know what? If a veteran uses my name in a vet hospital, they bring him in for evaluation. That was told to me by a gentleman who lost two of his legs.
Yeah. Huh? Steve, are you talking about a psych eval?
Yeah, and also, they want to make sure that the guy is not thinking of taking revenge. Look, if the truth will cause people to react that negatively. By the way, Dave, this gentleman didn't have his legs. He was in a wheelchair, you know, and only the use of one arm. And they took him in, and they basically were incredibly abusive and, you know, and these are vets sending, and by the way, they don't send it on email because they have their email monitored. This was a handwritten letter from a guy, and then he signed it and he said, give them hell and give them the truth. So anyway, that literally happened. So now we've got 965,000 vets waiting. I warned the veterans, but guess who put that plan into effect long ago? It was the Nazis for their racial hygiene. Ernst Rudel and obviously Dietrich Eckart and Himmler and the whole Nazi regime. They wanted to pure everything and everyone. And now what do we have? We have the infirmed. And listen, you know what Britain does in their love and compassion? They let their patients over a certain age just literally starve or become dehydrated to death. I don't know if you've been watching those. That's on their London Daily Mail stories like that. So we're watching human life being denigrated to such a degree that pretty soon human life is treated like trash. That's the Nazi protocol. And a friend of mine, I think if I said this before, it bears repeating. A friend of mine traveled all over the world teaching some of the most wealthy regimes and corrupt regimes, their bodyguards, you know, ex-military guy. And he said, Steve, do you know what I noticed on all the shelves? Whenever I'd go into the office and then we'd talk about pricing and the training protocols, etc., he said every single one of them had Mein Kampf in the middle pulled out. You know how when you have a bookcase and they're all pushed in against the wall? But this one was all of that. He said it was absolutely astonishing me. And he contacted me after hearing, I think, you know, wherever, whatever show I was on, talking about that. So, Dave, do the Nazis matter in World War II? Absolutely. I believe, and I don't know how far enough you are in my book, but I believe it's the most important book I've ever written and that every single person needs to order it. I'm not kidding. It's that important. If somebody says, oh, you're just selling fear to sell your books, please give me a break. The idea is this. You're experiencing the final Reich. You're experiencing the final solution. You're watching euthanasia. You're watching the vilification. You're watching about brave men and women being denied their rights because somebody is afraid that the veterans who are trained in warfare might go out and train a younger crew. Look at the American young people compared to the Russian youth. A good example. Vladimir Putin trains his young wolves. I think the entry level is 8 years old. How to strip a AK-47. You go on YouTube, I think, and find it. Blindfolded. If anybody doesn't know what an AK-47 is, it's the most prevalent battle rifle in the world. They're in the Middle East. The Russians have them. The Chinese have them. I mean, you know, any major, major military outside of the U.S. and our allies uses AK-47s. Kalashnikovs. So, and what are we teaching? We're teaching our children to decide color of makeup, sexual gender, sexual preference, you know, and what's happened, Dave, we've become effeminate. And there is a Bible prophecy said all the men in the midst of thee have become women. That pretty much says it, doesn't it?
But is that ever true today? There's no question. I mean, there's different words for it, Steve, but, you know, and just look at, and I talked about this on my show a couple weeks ago, just look at professional sports. In football now, they've sissified the game. In basketball, they've sissified the game. In baseball, if you hit a home run, you knew you were going to get thrown out the next time you came up, and now they throw the pitcher out that does that. They've sissified the game, and they want to turn men into sheep, and they're well on their way to doing it in this country.
Well, you know, and look at the political correctness. Tebow, Tim Tebow, he knelt and prayed. Look at what those vile devils from vomitous hell and their cauldron of spew did to him, okay? I actually absolutely hold him in high esteem. The players, and look, I don't watch sports, but I think is it the NBA that has a lot of Christians that are really outspoken? I don't think it's the NFL now, but it's the NBA, and I watch those guys just get absolutely taken apart over their stance for Jesus. So let me say this. Dave, when I first went on talk radio, a little reminiscing with you, okay? When I first went on talk radio, it was on Johnstown, Colorado, and I think it was early 90s, 1992 or something like that.
I
did a couple shows.
Well.
Yep, I did a couple shows. Well, the first one I did is I said the most precious commodity in the end time will be food, edible food, and potable water. I also said in that show, I said you're going to see all the earthquakes and volcanoes, all the major Earth's volcanoes come alive at the same time. But I went into great detail explaining the psychology of what we would be encountering in these days, okay? So for someone who's accused of always being incorrect, how could I have known that? Well, the only way I could have known it is obviously I can't say I knew the dates, but I knew the events. Only God can determine the events. So finally, I got peace in my heart. I always wanted to give people the exact time, day, and hour it would all go to hell, okay, or blow up. Until the Lord says, Steve, because I honor free will, and obviously I know it, I will not allow the date to be known until it's decreed from heaven, because I give men space to repent. And you can see it. You can see it with Nineveh. Nineveh is going to get wiped out. You know, even the pagan Ninevites got down in sackcloth and ashes. They postponed it, but 100 years after they repented, guess what? They were toast. They were wiped out. So what I'm saying in all this, Dave, is simply this. There is a supernatural factor that until people really get it and understand their spiritual authority in Jesus Christ and understand the nature of the battle, they will be like Don Quixote, charging windmills, okay? And what I want people... how do I say this? I want people to get it, literally get it, and that's, how do I say, that's my number one concern.
Well, it's mine too. Steve, I want to shift gears because there's got to be something, I got to talk to you about this. And it's always been a subject of fascination for me. In fact, there was even a TV show that started on Showtime, and I used to watch it. I confess to watching it as Richard Dean Anderson was the star, and the show was called Stargate SG-1. And yep. It's something that my dad and I had actually talked about in the 80s, where they actually worked on not hardware, but software applications to being able to do this based on theory. And you step into a Stargate, and you demolecularize and you show up on the other side of the universe at a predetermined location with stargates throughout the universe. Number one, you know, tell people about what you wrote about in your book in terms of how this fits into this overall scheme.
Well, stargates are really critical because all of the different spots around the Earth, Dave, where there were known stargates, they're seemingly being reactivated. A stargate is a transfer point between dimensions, and you instantaneously go from one dimension to another, and you go from one point on one planet to another point in another galaxy. It's instantaneous. It doesn't, obviously, if you're making a movie about it, you've got to take the time to develop it. You've got to show the star fields and the galaxies passing, and you end up leaving point A and ending up in point B. By the way, the movie Stargate, the original movie that series followed, was probably one of the most astounding truths of any science fiction movie during that time. Because you know this, I have made a point of telling people that Hollywood knows what's going on, and they don't tell you, they don't come right out and tell you, but if hell controls Hollywood, and that's like somebody said, Hollywood would be better called, you know, Hollywood would be better be called Hellywood. The point is that then they're going to be the ones that are going to pre-position the information to us, through us, and how would you say, over us, in order to facilitate their agenda. Stargates were simple. And the question people ask me, were there stargates before the flood? My answer is absolutely. So in order to deal with stargates, people need to know the source of the stargates. The ancients used them, and in all the studying of every ancient civilization, they were called the gates of the gods. Actually, that's what Babel, you know, some people say Babel means confusion. You know, there are multiple takes on it, but let me share that, and I will share that the idea of pyramids and the capstones and all the pyramids around the world were stargates. And for some people, they just can't believe it. But the U.S. military believes it, because the U.S. military actually put out a document, and I have it on my... basically, they researched all the Native American and all the legendary positions in the United States. I'll give it to people right now, okay? Thank the Lord I've got it. Native American sacred sites and the Department of Defense. And guess what one of their major topics is, the one they spend the most time on? It's the question you're asking me, okay? So they go in and they basically have spreadsheets, and they're talking about Lewis and Clark's expedition, and they're talking about all the sacred places of the Native Americans. And if you ever see a spiral on a petroglyph, you'll notice that there are spirals on petroglyphs. Okay, so you go into the desert southwest like Tom Horningford's Putnam have. Then, like Timothy Alberino and my film crew, they go to Sardinia, they go to Malta, they go to Rome, they go to different places. They go to Peru, they go to Bolivia, they go different places. And guess what? The universal symbol for a stargate is a spiral. Do you remember the infamous Norway spiral?
Yes.
The Norway spiral was seen, remember, when Obama became president? And it just went crazy through the Internet, okay? I mean, it went so fast and so furious, and people were wondering what it meant. Well, here's the deal. God in his mercy and love, I'm trying to put this into a context, especially so Christians can understand, okay? That's what I'm doing. God in his infinite mercy and love was all about protecting his creation from these very malevolent entities. And the malevolent entities would come and go through the stargates. He closed them, C-L-O-S-E-D. What he did was basically protect us, not only from them, but from ourselves. Because the word occult means hidden. It means veiled. And so when you're talking about occult knowledge, you're also talking about gnosis. And in Greek, it's epignosis, E-P-I-G-N-O-S-I-S, which simply means that salvation comes by what you know, not who you know. So the secret societies are built on knowledge. Knowledge is what? Sacred knowledge, hidden knowledge, or mystical knowledge. Yet when I was working on my book, you know, True Legends about the Native American and their stargates, and then even the little creatures, you know what the most common theme in all of them was? Stargates. It was all of them. And by the way, they're biblical. Jacob's ladder is a good example of a stargate. Somebody said, well, then it should be called a star ladder. Well, forgive me, but when you're talking about getting from Earth to a planet, whether it's a Pleiades or wherever else, we have the precedent. And Dave, it's endemic to every culture, okay? And since I deal with stuff in little creatures, I deal with, in True Legends, I deal with Sasquatch, Yeti, all the different names, Yowie in Australia. Why is it that all of these creatures are on every continent? It's simple, because they use the gates. And I was told, whether people want to believe this or not, I think the official deep background name for, Abominable Snowman, Yeti, Bigfoot is Species 7. They come and go through portals. And I can tell you, there's a lady in Montana that contacted me 2 years ago. I live in Bozeman. Red Lodge is probably 100 miles, yeah, not 100, 80 miles east by southeast from Bozeman, Montana. Maybe a little more, a little less. Depends on how fast I drive. But the point is that she called, and my good friend John Kyle, Pastor John Kyle in Billings, went down to pray with her. Her daughter was having encounters with Sasquatch. They were communicating with her in telepathically, and the mother was terrified because the Sasquatch would stand outside. They had a metal roof. They had a nice house on the creek that maybe it's called. I should know the name of the creek, but it flows right from. Let's see. Well, anyway, the name of the creek, I know exactly where her house was, and she was terrified. The mother was beside herself because she and her daughter would be inside, and all these rocks would start hitting the roof. In the following days, they would go out, and her little daughter was saying to her, Mom, they want to let you know they're your friend, too. Well, come to find out upon talking to the mother at length, who, by the way, moved out of the house and took her daughter, she had adopted her daughter from a Native American family who her great-grandfather was a medicine man, okay? Now, you think that this is all made up, and how crazy can people get? That woman, who was a Christian, by the way, was terrified, and God bless John Kyle. He ministered to her, and like I said, she moved. And that was 2 years ago in Montana. So when you look at the history of all of the cultures and the natives, the two, and you're going to find this interesting, the two images that are depicted in more petroglyphs worldwide than any other two are, guess what, the spirals, the stargates, and the serpent or the snake. And somebody might say, well, how can that be related?
Well, I was going to ask you, along those lines, do you think the Stargates are going to be reopened? Have they been reopened?
They have been reopened, okay? Let me say this. Most people think it's a future thing. It's open now. They're opening now. If you've seen a bank, have you ever seen a bank vault door? You have the big one. You have usually a locking mechanism in the center, and that the center locking mechanism is connected to bolts and or other lock and timing mechanism that everything has to line up to open up. That's what CERN is all about, okay? And CERN is absolutely trying to generate the power because there are power sources for Stargates. I don't know all of the power sources, but I can tell you this, that they work on crystals, they work on words, and they work on an energy source. And that's told to me by, you know, the guys in the what I call the world of black ops. And what's critical for people to understand is if you want to see a fossil, you know, of a dinosaur or of some crustacean or, you know, an ammonite fossil from 400 million years ago or a megalodon tooth, the giant shark tooth, those are reminders that these things really existed. The Stargate symbol is even older than the Nazi symbol, you know? And that's what people have got to get the understanding of. Why is it, and this is the big thing, why is it that Jesus said that he's going to build his church on the rock? That's not Peter. That's the rock of faith. The Catholics will argue with that. I'm not anti-Catholic. I'm just saying this. But the gates of hell and the gates of hell will not prevail. What is a gate? A gate is something that keeps something back or allows something through. Have you ever been beat up by a gate? Not unless you tried to jump it and your feet weren't long enough, then you could say you did damage. But the point being is a Stargate is something that allows something through or keeps something back. What CERN is doing is going into the realm of primal and beyond physics. Okay, Dave, you know, the average college professor teaches physics. They can challenge me on this, but unless they're one of them, the initiates, the Luciferians, they don't get taught the real world physics. They don't get taught the arcane. They don't get taught the ancient.
That's common knowledge. My father educated me about Tesla physics very early in my life, and then later when we did Full Disclosure in his last days, he told me, he said, you know, there was a bifurcation of science that took place in about 1945 to 1947 as we made certain discoveries, and the world was kept on Newtonian three-dimensional physics, and he referred to it in the 1980s as quantum physics. It was the new buzzword. And he said that we went into a different direction in terms of our clandestine military and intelligence operations, and we draw power from other dimensions. And what you're talking about here with the Stargates, I know for a fact these Stargates self-generate by using power from other dimensions, and it's a whole different form of physics. Now, Steve, I will tell you this. In some universities across the country, they are beginning to get into quantum entanglement and quantum physics, but it's nowhere near how deep this science really goes.
Oh, agreed. And let me share this. This is, I want to read something from my book, okay? It's from page 287. This theory of parallel universes converging on our planet explains perfectly the wealth of stories of people traveling from one type of Earth to another that may be very different from our own. Here are some of the more familiar stories that can be interpreted as travel from one universe to another, even in European mythology. Orpheus journeyed into the underworld to bring back his beloved Eurydice. The ancient Sumerian myth of Gilgamesh ascending in the underworld on a search for immortality, similar journey. Dante Alighieri's Divine Comedy tells of a hero who travels through the various levels of hell with the Roman poet Virgil acting as his guide. Icelandic folklore has a hero named Eirikur, E-I-R-K-U-R, who retrieves his wife back from the underworld with the help of a priest who opens up a portal in a rock, freeing not just Eirikur's wife, but also a crowd of missing people that have been stolen by trolls. Celtic fairies, or the Tuatha De Danann, are described as living in the depths of the earth, in hills, or under high ridges. And this is one of the most amazing ways. In Polynesia, notice the all around the world mythology, Samoa Talaga visits the underworld through a rock portal and obtains fire from the fire god Mapui, bringing it back to the world for use by mankind. Now, we don't need to say that every myth and legend is true, but they're thought fossils. A myth or a legend possesses something that basically has something to do with what we're talking about tonight, okay? And what CERN's doing is opening up alternate universes. And what's fascinating to me is if you take my premise that Empire Beneath the Ice and how the Nazis won World War II is accurate, or even you can say this, the evidence that would at least pause, cause you to pause and consider it, then you would need to understand that in 1945, Nazis had the understanding of both parallel universes and quantum physics. If people look at that, you're dealing with guys with German names, okay? So the Nazis, I think one of the most famous German scientists that blew my mind was what he was talking about during 1918 to 1928. And Dave, you could not believe the prescience of what he was doing. By the way, it's the basis of quantum physics today. The London Daily Mail is probably one of the most interesting sites. Now, I apologize, ladies and gentlemen, I do, for linking to those stories, because sometimes they have girly shots on the right side, you know. I mean, they're obsessed with stars, movie stars and stuff. But they're the only one dealing with alternate universe and alternative universes. Super potential, all of the quantum physics terms, and tell you that this isn't a future thing, it's a now thing. What you heard Dave Hodges just say is absolutely accurate. So when we deal with an alternative universe, most people simply can't deal with the one they live in now, let alone the ones that we're telling them exist, you know? And we are troubled, okay? We are troubled on every side because the standard historic paradigm no longer answers the deep questions of the any thinking person, okay? So CERN, obviously, you know this. You know who the patron devil of CERN is Shiva. Shiva is the destroyer of worlds. You know, Shiva is the equivalent, if you will, of the phoenix, only on the one that initiates it. Even those who, you know, Oppenheimer and the guys Groves and those who are developed the atom bomb, you know, on the Manhattan Project, all the different scientists who are involved, it was Oppenheimer that basically made the statement he had become the destroyer of worlds, basing it on Shiva. So now you've got CERN, and look, maybe they should have had a smiling clown or something, but when they have Shiva as the, and they have the dance of cosmic destruction, does that make you feel warm and fuzzy, Dave, to go to bed at night knowing that there are people that are doing their best to destroy what we have? And I just turned down a story that was submitted to me. Somebody said we've got less than 2 weeks before 100 nuclear reactors melt down, and I sent the person who sent it to me, I sent him back an email saying that's not true. So the point that is that when you've got CERN being funded by a number of nations who not only take part in its experiments but are some of the leading occultists / scientists on record, you've got to know they're not doing this just to say, yep, there's no God. They're doing it to basically open up the very things that we've all known. And let's quote, I got a quote here on page 292. The president of CERN, Torsten Ackeson, primed the fuse for what the scientists had in mind with their project, a new academic adventure that would leave the past in the dust. Leave the past in the dust. And let's talk about this. Lyndon Evans stated, the LHC, CERN, is the largest and most sophisticated scientific instrument ever built. There have been many challenges along the way, which have all been overcome one after another. We are now looking forward to start the experimental program. The adventure of building the LHC will end, and a new adventure of discovery will begin. Well, let me say that. You could say that, too, if you knew you were going to jump off a 10,000, 15,000 foot mountain peak, and it would be a new adventure because you've never done it before. But the new adventure results in your death, correct? If you don't have a parachute or a paraglider, suit on or something. But I'm saying that's what's happening. It's unintended consequences. There are unintended consequences. It's just like telomeres on the end of human DNA. Katie can deal with that. Maybe she's talked about it. But it was only 4 years ago that they considered that junk DNA. Who are the experts, only to find out that it's the most important part of the deoxyribonucleic acid linkage. You know, so 1 minute they're saying, oh, gee, this is junk, and the next minute they're saying, uh-oh, this is the most important thing. You know, so saying CERN, there are other super collider sites. Now, here's the question. What happens when parallel universe let's take the one in CERN, interferes with parallel, B, which may be in Russia, and C in China, and what will be the interaction of the forces, the particles, and the field strengths that are generated between them? You follow me? Imagine that every stargate is a billiard or a pool ball on a table, and they smash the right atom, but that it's not just that their atoms, you know, and all the different particles, the subatomic particles, the new name particles, etc., but those start interacting with different forms of energy and matter that heretofore are not known, may be postulated or speculated. And what happens? And see, that's why I believe, again, the words of Jesus, the most important words ever preached, if the days weren't shortened, yet for the elect's sake they will be shortened, there'd be no flesh left alive. God is going to stop it. I want to make it clear. I do not share certain people's views on either. I believe Planet X is real. It's coming in. It's affecting our Earth. I believe CERN is real, but it's not the end of the world, because it's the end of the age, but the world ends when Jesus, the official, and when I say the world, the social order ends at the Battle of Armageddon, and the new world order in God's plan is established. So when you've got this CERN guy making the statement that it's to do away with the old paradigm, I'll make it easy. We don't need God. We now have the abilities of God to create. That's the bottom line.
Hey, Steve, you were talking about the portals, I immediately thought of C.S. Lewis, and he gave the Christian world a hint at what is coming and what is very real, but he did it from a perspective of, hey, Christians, this science is real, but he did it in such a way that I don't understand how Christians cannot believe in this. What do you think of that?
Well, that's a great observation, and the reason they won't think on it, because it can I say this? It's because it's too uncomfortable, and I think a lot of people, Katie, take the position, if they don't know about it, they don't have to concern themselves with it. I think it's laziness, I think it's intellectual cowardice, and I think it's basically they're more comfortable in denying all the warnings than they are in acting upon them. Look, well, I know this, you know this, these people are not up to this for our good, okay? Because, again, what did they name the Higgs boson? They named it the God particle. And there are other names for it, too. And, you know, like I said to Dave, when the slander in heaven, ye shall be as God. That's exactly what was promised to Eve, you know, being able to know the difference between good and evil. Ye shall be as God. So the thing is that, in my opinion now, based on the Word of God and all the stuff I'm doing in superpotential and supersymmetry and superposition, and I can explain quantum physics and superpositioning, where a particle can exist in two places in the universe at the same time by what the words of Jesus. Nobody believed Jesus when it comes to quantum physics, but I'll make it simple. If in the book of Acts says, in him, Jesus, we live and move and have our being. Jesus said when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, we're seated with him in heavenly places. Well, you know, the person that's sitting in a car that just got pulled over by a cop and is getting a $200 ticket for doing, I mean, he can say, well, Lord, I'm sitting in my car seat. I'd rather be sitting in heaven. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that we as Christians live in in multiple dimensions, and God is now going to bring his people into the knowledge of that. But Katie, it's just like everything. Try and you know what you do, try and get a Christian to realize his body's the temple of the Holy Ghost that God wants us to take care of, and then, you know, try and explain to them that you don't go to McDonald's or you don't eat Roundup or GMO food in that temple. It's because it's more, here's an easier way. It's easier to deny it than to acknowledge it and deal with it, okay? Because
it's
we're all creatures.
It's cognitive dissonance, and I like your label even
better.
Absolutely. Intellectual cowardice. That's what cognitive dissonance is.
No, I agree. And I got to tell you something. Okay, here I go. If you see the babies on the campuses being affected by Trump, having to run and be breastfed by the university hierarchy, I have never seen such an open, wanton display of the pusillanimous, I got to be careful here, the meow men and women being made that, seriously, I said they ought to then, if they want to do this, and you're an educator, you'll appreciate this, they ought to basically put diaper-changing stations at the university, okay? They should give people lollipops and basically allow them instantaneous counseling with gender-biased counselors, because what we've got, and I forget what Michael Savage used to call them, but he used to call them diaper babies. There was a whole thing before that. I don't know if you've ever heard him call them that, but Savage nailed it almost, well, 5 years ago. So, what are we produced a nation of wimps and higher education? I've said this since I started on talk radio. Higher education is a joke. It is a lowering of, it is a lowering of intelligence, it's a lowering of reason, and I'm not talking the age of reason, I'm talking the ability to form thoughts and express ourselves, and you're an educator, you know what I'm talking about, and to form a bunch of basically Gumbyites. Those are clay figures that bend in any direction that the powerful university or school, and look at what the schools are turning out. They're making even schools in your area, in Arizona, are making kids learn about Allah. You want to bet Johnny talks about Jesus Christ, he gets expelled. He talks about Allah, he gets a full-ride scholarship, you know. Again, what we're seeing, and this is cognitive dissonance, it's also apathy, it's also indifference, and I think it's mind control. I think it's the air we breathe, it is the water we drink, and more importantly, all those are important. You can't live, obviously, without air and water, but the food is genetically altering us, and the radio frequency, whether it's HARP or any of the 200 other ways of electromagnetic attenuation and murder, are genetically altering. And there is, Dave, there's case studies in science of everything that I'm talking about, but Stargates, let's change the word to Angel Gates, because that's really important for people in the word, is that the word angel, messenger in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, stars, the seven stars, the seven golden candlesticks, the seven messengers, the ancients believe that every star you see in the night is an abode of angels. Well, I don't know that, but I will say this. Jesus said he saw a third of the stars of heaven fall, you know, and that's Lucifer's legions. So, and Jesus said, I could have called 10,000 angels, you know, and Jesus talks about my Father's angels, his angels, and Lucifer and his angels. So in talking about all this, we've got to come to the realization that everyone's argument is going to go by the wayside when they have to deal with something in their bedroom at night or something someplace that defies their logical denial, that calls to task their cognitive dissonance, and people are going to have to wake up. Unfortunately, I pray it's not under very dangerous circumstances.
I agree, but we're being propagandized like you wouldn't believe. Let me just give you a couple examples, as you like to call Hollywood. If we go back to that Stargate SG-1 series, later in the series, I forget what year it was in, but they actually had Baal come to Earth to try to take over. And it was presented as a religious cult.
Boy, was that predictive programming, because, gosh, we're probably going back now to the early 2000s. And in the movie Ghostbusters, which is being remade, in which all the protagonists are going to be female, talk about weaponizing society again. But in the original, they had Shiva, and I think they had Baal in there too, but I know they had Shiva. That was, gosh, Ghostbusters was, I think, 1984, 1985, Steve. This is how far along they have planned this.
Absolutely. And Ghostbusters was incredibly occult, if you remember it. Now, obviously, the Marshmallow Man at the end, or the Michelin Tire Guy, you know, with the thought projection. But what was interesting, you remember the scene in the movie with the blood, the kind of, it looked blood red running in the sewers under New York?
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine, and I'm going to talk something here, can you imagine all the babies that have been aborted? Now, I don't have the figure on this, okay? And I would say this, I'll no longer use that word. Slaughtered and sacrificed are my new words, okay? And I'm sure I'll trip myself up, but I'm going to try and change my thoughts on that. Can you imagine the collective volume, Dave, of all the babies that have been slaughtered in New York, okay? Now, I don't know every abortion capital of the United States, but if Abel's righteous blood called out to God, what more? I mean, I can't even imagine the cries of the blood and the volume of blood, you know. And a dear friend of mine who used to, you maybe heard him on my radio program in my early years of broadcasting, Mike McQuitty, and I remember he gave a word of the Lord. The Lord said, once the bleeding starts in America, it won't stop. Now, it
totally
wasn't just in relationship.
That's where we're at.
Pardon?
That's where we're at, Steve.
Yep.
That is tremendous. Steve, we're almost out of time, and I'm not going to do justice to you or to my listening audience if we don't mention to people how to get this great book. This is a must read. And I've looked at this and looked at this and looked at this, and I feel I haven't scratched the surface. Folks, it's called Empire Beneath the Ice, How the Nazis Won World War II. And for the last 2 hours, you've been listening to the esteemed author, Steve Quayle. Steve, tell everyone how to get a copy of the book.
They can go on my website, stevequayle.com, go up into the blue nav bar books, and everything I sell is sold online through my website. And I think that Empire Beneath the Ice will put the wow into understanding the headlines. And if you understand Empire Beneath the Ice, you won't have to wait to figure out or for someone else to report on what's happening. You'll see it in real time. Remember this. I'm going to close out with this. When you've got the head of the Russian Orthodox Church, when you've got the head of the Roman Catholic Church, and you've got Obama and everything he represents, meeting in secret meetings with entities in the Antarctic. And Dave, the Special Forces word out there is the tunnels from the Antarctic to South America, especially Patagonia. Patagonia literally means big feet, have been opened. And what this one guy said, I'm just telling you, okay, can I prove it? No. But he did say this. He said, and they are awakening and they're getting ready to come forth, both into South America and North America. And that they are the giants of old who have been put into suspended animation. People say, well, that's not in my Bible. Oh, yes, it is. Jesus said, just as in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Thank you for letting me come on, and God bless you, Katie. I just thank you again for the opportunity to share Empire Beneath the Ice, How the Nazis Won World War II. It's way beyond what even Dave and I scratched the surface. You cannot doubt that the world that we see now is influenced by very evil and malevolent entities. And I maintain, Dave, that it's the fallen angels who still rule the world behind the scenes, and all the world leaders bow down. In Antarctica, Admiral Byrd met the king of the world. I believe the king of the world just gave, and I believe that's Satan, I believe that he just gave his marching orders to the people that met in Patagonia.
Thank you, Steve.
And Steve, with that, we're out of time, my friend. Thank you so much for honoring
thank
our
you.
Show by coming on, and thank you for writing the book. And let me just mention this real quick before we get about 10 seconds here. I advertise for Steve's book at the end of every article I have, and we have no business relationship on this. That's the highest endorsement I can give this book. Thanks so much, Steve.
Bye-bye, Dave. Bye-bye, Katie.
Bye, Steve. Thanks.
Bye, Steve. Wow. My head's spinning. That may be the quickest 2 hours I have ever spent on this show. And in some ways, we're just getting warmed up. We'll be back with Katie
and Josh at the bottom of the hour. See you in hour number three.